Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jen Kotler, and you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I know I say this every week, but I'm really excited to have you listening, whether you're live listening or you're archive listening, and I'm thrilled about our topic this evening, and I'm very excited to have some great friends and great guests on the air to talk about couples and spirituality. This is Monday night, March 10th, 2014, and we are here. We are broadcasting from downtown Katona, New York, and we are looking forward to your conversation. If at any point you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. Just want to let you know about the next couple of shows. 2 weeks from tonight, March 24th, there will be a pre-recorded broadcast with life coach Russ Terry, who's going to be releasing his book 2 weeks from tonight on March 24th. And since we will both be at the release party, we are going to pre-record the show, and it will be on here at 8 o'clock on the 24th for you to listen to. And on April the 14th is our first show in April, and I'm going to have my guest is going to be Brian Walters. And Brian is the, we'll call him Walt. Walt is the director of the Overflow Project, and he works with churches that want to do things in the Easter season to recollect what there is their overflow, so not buying coffee, doing some kind of fasting from the things that are really overflow in their life, and then funneling those funds to help folks who are in need of clean water in developing countries. So it'll be a great show. I'm really excited to learn more about how that all works, and I hope that you will tune in then. That's on April 14th. And if you want to learn more about that before then, if you want or your church wants to be involved in the Overflow Project, I would encourage you to go online to his website, which is www.overflow.org. And if you're ever looking to reach me, Reverend Jen, you can certainly reach me on the web. My website is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. Seed stands for spiritual engagement, energy engagement, and direction. And I am always looking forward to hearing from folks who find me on the internet, find me on Blog Talk Radio. The Life Coach Radio Network has just been an awesome way to connect with folks who otherwise wouldn't know about the work that I do. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in spiritual direction or life purpose coaching, to reach out to me. I can be reached at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. Now, so turning to our topic for this evening, which is couples and spirituality, I just happen to have sitting with me tonight in the studio two of our best couple friends, as well as my husband, and we're going to be just having a conversation about couples and spirituality. So the first couple is Reverend Tommy Brown and Ms. Karen Brown. Tommy is a life coach and works with college life engagement, works with college students who are engaging life post-college. He has got a great book called Unscripted. Tommy's been on the program before and to talk about his book and does great work with college students. Karen is a marriage and family therapist working in practice in Boone, North Carolina. So that's Tommy and Karen, and I will let them tell you more about themselves in just a minute. And Rob and Shauna Lewis. Rob is a IT person, works with companies on their IT needs, and Shauna does a variety of things, including real estate, and she says she's already working in her retirement job, so we like it very much. And in addition to that, I have my husband on the show for the first time, Reverend Gavin Meek. So in addition to my being a reverend and my husband being a reverend and Tommy Brown being a reverend, we decided that we would talk about couples and spirituality. So first question to us, to the couples is, you know, how did you meet? What's the story of how you met?
Well, this is Karen. I would say that my husband and I met in college, and it was a Presbyterian college. And that's part of what made the decision for me to convert to being a Presbyterian.
Okay. So you weren't raised in the Presbyterian church?
No, I was raised in the Methodist church.
Okay. You were raised in the Methodist church, and you met Tommy at college. What's your version of the story, Tommy?
We were at Maryville College in Tennessee, and actually I wasn't. Didn't date college, Karen, while I was in college. It was right after I graduated, or a year or so, or within the year after I graduated. And I was going through a hard breakup and stuff like that, and hanging around. And actually, it was during that year that I felt called to ministry. I was working as a director of a halfway house for people coming out of prison. It was a VISTA volunteer position, and part of my determination was that I was not going to go to seminary unmarried. I had friends who had gone to seminary, into ministry, and ended up marrying clergy couples.
Oh, God forbid!
And I really had made the decision that wasn't going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of my deal was I was looking for, you know, a relationship with someone who was not necessarily feeling the call into ministry and was going to have a different vocation. And that worked out wonderfully with Karen. But the interesting thing is once we did go to seminary, we got married and did moved to seminary. She actually began working in the library and found different niches that were really supportive of ministry. And in the library, especially, your work in the library was a real beginning of a deep study of theology. And she's actually ended up through the years, I think, studying theology and different religions. In effect, more than I have, because my work has been in Christian ministry, mm-hmm. and she really began a study of different spiritualities, different expressions of faith that has enriched our mm-hmm. life together.
Yeah, and you all have been married for...
It'll be 28 years in May.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband and I are newbies compared to the other folks in this room. And I would like to invite Robbie and Shauna to tell us how they met.
Hi, this is Rob. And we met also in college, or we met in college. Actually, Shauna was dating my roommate at the time, and it ended up being an interesting little situation there, but they broke up and we ended up getting together, and we were married within a year of that, and just kind of knew it was right. And we've been married for 23 years now. We got married while we were in college, and have stayed married since. Religiously speaking, I was brought up fundamentalist with the fundamentalist Church of Christ in North Carolina. Shauna did not have much organized religion as she was brought up. She had attended various churches here and there. So, but at the time we met, I had done a little bit more theologically a little more study into theology myself, and had ceased to go to any church at the time, and had not gone for quite a while until just recently, mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, we started attending a Unitarian Universalist church.
Mm-hmm.
But cool. But we've had all kinds of interesting conversations as that has as our marriage has progressed, mm-hmm. about spirituality and where we are. She sees things quite differently than I do. Shauna tends to be more of a a spiritualist, more of an undefined spiritualist.
Okay.
I tend to be a little bit more on the scientific, hard facts side, but I'm trying to work in some spirituality in there as well.
Okay.
So
Shauna, what's your side of the story?
He nailed it. Yeah, I was dating his roommate. But yeah, I tend to, well, growing up, we didn't really have any organized religion. It was more whoever I spent the night with on a Saturday night. I went to go to church on Sunday, and that was like...
Oh, how was that?
It was very interesting because I had Catholic friends, I had Lutheran friends, I had Presbyterian friends, I had Christian friends, Baptist friends. Mm-hmm. So I would attend all these different churches. Mm-hmm. And when I would spend the summer with my aunt, she had a Pentecostal church, so I spent a lot of time with
her
at the Pentecostal church as well. So I've been around the block and seen a lot of different beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And so now the two of you attend the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
Yes, and that's very open, and it suits both of us with his logical side and my more spiritual side. So it's a good fit for us.
Nice. That's great. That's great. Well, Gav, do you want to... tell the story about how we met?
Well, sure. I'll be happy to. We met through a common friend. Jen went to college with her, Alicia, and I grew up with her in the church. I grew up Presbyterian my whole life. My dad was born and raised in Presbyterian church. My mother in the Presbyterian church, the Kirk of Scotland, and had her letter of transfer when she met my father, who was in the United States Navy stationed in London. So I've grown up in the Presbyterian church. But and Alicia was in my youth group, and she told me for several years that I need to meet this woman, Jen. Every time I hear Jen talk about her faith, politics, worldview, I hear you, Gavin. And every time I hear you talk about your faith and politics and worldview and love of travel, I hear Jen in the other ear. And so she finally got us together. She had sent me something you wrote. And I read it, and I thought, okay, I like this person. I like her theology. I like her worldview and all, and, concern for others and social justice and those who are hurting, those who are oppressed and feeling excluded. And then I met you. You got there a little bit late, and I remember you walking in the door. I'll never forget that. And they had a dog, and of course the dog came up to you, and you immediately went down because you love dogs and was loving on the dog and looked up at me, and I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, she's beautiful. And then so I started to kind of suck in my gut, stand on my tiptoes, try to get rid of my double chin. Not that I have a big one, but anyway. Right then, and we talked until like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I knew, wow.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty accurate. I've heard Gavin tell this story many times, and we have now been together almost 7 years and been married for going on 3 of those years. So tonight we just want to have a little bit, deeper conversation. One of the things that we were talking about earlier is that Robbie and Shauna have 2 boys, and Tommy and Karen have 2 boys, both who are of all 4 of which now are of dating age and are dating. And just curious to see how you feel about the boys and their sort of dating life, thinking back on your own, because both of you couples got married very young, and and your faith didn't particularly enter into that. Your faith sort of entered into that decision more. And I guess my question is, how would you feel about the boys marrying someone of even a radically different faith or world view, if you will?
It's really interesting. I think about who our boys, both of this is Tommy, our boys Hayden and Schaefer, both in kind of long-term relationships at this point, and both have this spiritual component to them. Our oldest son, Hayden, who's getting ready to graduate from college, is dating a young woman who is born and raised in the Episcopal Church. And, you know, if they continue to be together, that's probably where it's going. And that's wonderful, because I've done work with the Episcopal Church. And Hayden is, in many ways, I think, the more likely to have a calling into ministry, or a sense of his own spirituality and his own calling to ministry. Although Schaefer is also spiritual, and the funny thing is, the young woman he's dating, they met in youth group.
They really
connected at Montreat, which is the Presbyterian Conference Center, and that's why they're together. And they've been together 2 years, and they were in youth group together at First Pres Boone. And, you know, Schaefer, I think, has pushed a little bit harder on the church issues, but with me as a father, pushing hard on the church issues actually gets a lot of respect. Because of the way I feel, you know, that faith, spirituality, and religion, church, are not the synonymous. Mm. You know, they're not all one and the same thing. I think there's as much spirituality and as much faithfulness outside of, and perhaps more outside of, than within. So for me, you know, where and who they are in relationship with, I think if they're growing, if they're exploring, if they're seeking, if they're asking those questions, if it's a part of who they are and not compartmentalizing it as something separate, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see both boys doing that,
mm-hmm.
and making it not necessarily an intentional part of their life in the way that I have, working in the church or participating in church, although it seems like Aiden might. He's a youth group leader now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a gateway.
Yeah, exactly.
Youth group leader for somebody.
But, you know, we've never really pushed it.
We
introduced them to it. They knew about it because I work in it, but we really never pushed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think whoever they're with, although, you know, the interesting question you asked earlier today about if they were engaged with fundamentalists,
right.
You know, somebody whose worldview is very different, that would be more challenging. We haven't encountered that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
mm-hmm.
how I would respond.
I think that's a real problem for parents, and you know, we are not a homogeneous society anymore, and what our grandparents did on both sides of the family and our parents on both sides of the family is
right.
not necessarily what's happening anymore. And so young people do meet people from other countries and other cultures and definitely other religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's challenging for families. I think Tommy and I would embrace, you know, whoever our children choose and hope that our children lead spiritual lives. But
mm-hmm.
the mechanics of that, you know, being spiritual is an intensely personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it used to be dictated by our community and what our grandparents and parents had done, and it's
sure.
not that way anymore. And
yeah.
so probably some parents are going to encounter a lot of stress
mm-hmm.
over
mm-hmm.
that.
Well,
yeah.
I would disagree that it's not that way anymore. It may not be that way with a lot of folks that we hang out with,
mm-hmm.
but it, for many people, it really is. Spirituality is very much dictated, and I think that's one of the things that I would have a problem with. I want to be open and welcoming to anyone that my children date and bring in and possibly marry, but someone that is very rigid in their beliefs and not respecting of other people's beliefs, I would have a hard time with that.
Mm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about you, Shawn?
I think I'd be a little bit more open than you, but I think that's me being religiously naive because I didn't grow up with a specific doctrine or religion. And so I think that in that sense, I might be a little bit more open to whatever my children would choose, just because I don't have that basis. I didn't grow up in a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's great. I'm going to just take a quick minute here and remind folks, if you want to join the conversation, you're welcome to call in. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397. If you've jumped on late, you're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And tonight I'm being joined by three couples, Robbie and Shauna Lewis, Tommy and Karen Brown, and my husband Gavin Meek and myself, talking about couples and spirituality. I'm wondering, and maybe I'll address this to you, Gav, how do you see spirituality coming into play in our relationship?
I think how we support one another in our respective roles in life, you doing spiritual direction and coaching, I want to support you in that, and then how you are such a great support for me and my interim ministry and doing transitional work and sometimes in congregations that are conflicted. I think that for us to have a connection not only to one another but to God and an understanding of God that's very similar, though, you know, you and I have some differences. They are, I think, pretty minor. We agree on most things, and that which we don't agree on, and those things that we do agree on, we challenge each other, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that adds a lot of vitality to our relationship. And it's
can you tell, just for folks that don't really understand what it is that you do, the kind of ministry that you're engaged in, and the ways in which that might impact?
Sure. I'm what we call an intentional interim pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA, which is one of the larger mainline Protestant denominations. What I do is I help congregations through a time of transition from one installed pastor to another installed pastor. And that takes usually a couple of years. And they're required to do what we call a mission study, what many people would refer to as a strategic plan, and do through a lot of prayer and study and conversation to discern what God is all about with them, what God wants them to be, their vision, what God wants them to do, their mission and then ministry goals, and then discern, figure out, okay, what kind of skills and qualities, abilities and gifts they need in their next pastor, who will be very important in helping them do their mission and be their vision. And sometimes I go into congregations because of my training and experience that have had some conflict and some angst, and maybe their last pastor didn't leave well or was asked to leave. And so I help try to build some unity, some healing, maybe knock a couple of heads together, mm-hmm. and help people see. And then help them start to work into that future. And then when their pastor's called, I go and do it all over again with another congregation.
Yep. And it might be in a completely different place.
It's always in a completely different place.
Yes, it's always in a completely different place, sometimes in a completely different part of the country.
Right, yeah.
And one of the nice things about my transition to doing spiritual direction and life coaching is that I am not place specific. So I do the work that I do primarily on FaceTime or Skype or by telephone, sometimes in person if the person is local, but often using very modern means of technology to connect so I can do my work from anywhere. So when Gavin is finished with this interim in New York, we don't know. I mean, I love to say to people that God only knows where we're going to be next, and we mean that in a very literal way that God really only knows where we're going to be next. But, you know, I know it's been a blessing for me to also make this transition out of parish ministry so that on Sunday mornings I can be in worship in Gavin's church, because that is, I think, a meaningful part of our relationship.
Absolutely.
And the ways that, you know, I can support Gavin in his ministry at the church and with the congregation. I'm wondering, you know, if for others, how you see this just sort of playing out in your lives. I know that it's just been within the last few years, right, Robbie and Shauna, that you've started sort of embracing and
looking for a spiritual home.
So how did that start? I mean, for us, it's sort of like we've always done this. So I'm just really curious to hear the story about you just like wake up one morning and say, oh, I think we, yeah, I don't know. You know, so tell me, what was that like?
You know, for the first 20 years of my life, I had a spiritual home. I was with the Fundamentalist Church of Christ, and then I left that. And then so for another, I guess, about 20 years of my life, I've had nothing. I had just had put it all aside. And but I always was looking for something. I'm very much into different world religions, and I saw that there was a Unitarian Universalist church in the area and didn't know much about it, and started looking into what they were about, and ended up going with my older son Dylan to a couple of their services, and we kind of liked it, and and so we just kept going and going and started to get to know people, invited Shauna to come along. Shauna came a couple times here and there, got my younger son Josh to come. And then within 6 months, we were all just going pretty much every week, and it was organic.
Mm-hmm. So Shauna, what was it about that experience, that congregation, that setting that felt comfortable for you, not having sort of the similar experience that Rob described of sort of feeling like, oh, there's something missing because I had this 20 years of faith practice that I then spent 20 years not doing. So what do you think it was about this congregation or this experience of spirituality that really drew you in?
I think it was, first of all, was Rob's excitement and seeing him being excited about it and going, wow, this is something I really like. This is something I really want to do. I want to share it with you. And so that's probably kind of what got my foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just, it was the people. And I think I'm very much a people person. I love people. And it was just a great feeling of fellowship. It's a very, you know, it's not a very large congregation, about 90 people. And just starting out meeting one person and then just getting to know some of the other people and then getting involved and getting on like some of the committees, like the social action committees and working for social justice, and then meeting like-minded people.
Say more about that.
And just people that felt the same way that I felt, and just some people you could have a conversation with, people that you could share experiences with, like the Moral Monday marches and just people that you bonded with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the biggest thing was we went on a retreat that was actually led by Tommy Brown. And so that was just like a 3-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out of this beautiful camp and this beautiful setting, and you were with these people for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really got to know people and know their families and know their children, and it was just a very bonding experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that feeling. I like these people that I'm with. Mm-hmm. I like sharing that camaraderie, and I enjoy the fellowship, I think, more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think for a lot of people, that finding that experience of community is really important. It's something that, you know, we all want to experience. So, Tommy and Karen, tell me about how are you practicing now? Karen, where do you worship, and what does that look like for you, and how does that play out with you and Tommy?
Well, for our entire married life, I was a member of a Presbyterian congregation,
mm-hmm.
and actually currently I am still on the roll of a Presbyterian congregation,
mm-hmm.
but I am not attending there regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I split my time between really the Episcopal Church and the Unitarian Church right now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm searching for a new community.
Mm-hmm. So what is it that sort of takes you back and forth between the UUs and the Episcopals right now, do you think?
Well, I would say both of those congregations have an emphasis on social justice.
Mm-hmm.
Which keeps me interested
mm-hmm.
in them.
Mm-hmm.
The Presbyterian Church has a history of social justice action as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one in our community.
But the one in our local community, not as much.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Part of it's also in my ministry, I've transitioned. I started in camp and conference ministry. I went to youth ministry and was part of a big congregation as an associate pastor, and for the last 11 years in campus ministry and working with congregation, but did not really ever find that community in Boone. And for me personally, now I've recently, to go into coaching and some other things, have left the campus ministry and am working with the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship that Robbie and Shauna attend as a ministry consultant. The community is really important.
Mm-hmm.
In all of my ministry, it's been about facilitating community.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really felt that in a particular church. So it's really important, the community that you find and how you as a couple, you know, fit with that. And I'm finding that at Boone Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, Karen, I think, you know, and we've talked about this, is that you really feel strongly about the Christian identity,
mm-hmm.
which I still identify as a Christian very much, but the community and mm-hmm. the breadth of expression in the Unitarian Universalist works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can include my Christian beliefs and practices in that. So, you know, we're dancing a little bit right now.
Yeah, I would say we're a couple with a disparate, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Disparate views
yeah. okay.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that would provoke a problem, but it hasn't.
Yeah. In 28 years. I mean, you, yeah.
Part of it is my faith home or spiritual home is so connected as a profession
to his vocation.
You know,
right.
It is tied in with my vocation, and that's an interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think, you know, most folks don't necessarily encounter
mm-hmm.
is that where I go on a Sunday actually is like a job.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And people don't, I think, realize that. I think it was much more of a challenge when Gavin and I were both serving churches professionally as pastors and not together on Sunday morning. And there were some months when Gavin wasn't in a church, so he was attending my church, and then after I left that ministry, I started attending his church, and I don't know what you think, Gav, but I certainly appreciate being able to be in the same place and to share that community, even from the fact that I know that this is his job, our job, to be in this role with this congregation for this time, knowing that our community is going to change, and it's probably going to change in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah.
That we won't be here any longer, and we are going to be somewhere else, and we're going to be in a different community. But I think one big thing for me, and I'll let Gavin speak for himself, though, is that we're in the same community together. So that
right.
so that we're now, rather than sort of being in these two places where we were both serving different communities, which really did, Seth, certainly for me, felt a whole lot more like, you know, we were on Sunday morning, we go to work.
Mm.
But it's a whole lot easier for me to go and worship and be a part of the community where Gavin is leading, is serving.
It's certainly more fulfilling for me. I certainly wouldn't, and I don't hear you saying this either, that it was bad before, or, you know, particularly challenging for us and our relationship, our spiritual life that we share together. In some ways, it added to some diversity and a dynamic feature to it. I think it did require us to work a little harder at making sure that we come together and talk about what's going on in our lives, talking about our faith, talking about, you know, because our work is so tied in with our faith and our connection to God. But it's certainly enjoyable to have you a part of the church family. I appreciate and value your constructive criticism of sermons and also you obviously, you know, with your professional work and with your training and your experience, your counsel is very valuable to me. So just professionally, but also just faith-wise, you know, you challenge me in my work and, you know, sermons and all that kind of stuff. I always like to get your feedback.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to just take a minute and remind folks of our call-in number. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. You're welcome to call in with a comment, a question, a thought, a random thought. We have about a little less than a half an hour left tonight. And if you have any questions or thoughts just about this topic or, you know, other topics, something that we've said that has made you go down a particular road, you're welcome to call in and bring that to us. So how do you see, I guess, you know, at moving forward, you all are sort of at a stage in your life where you've definitely in the sandwich generation, aging, some aging parents, kids coming up and going to college. At some point, you all are going to have not all four in college at the same time because Hayden's going to graduate this year. So you've got Hayden and
Grad school.
Right. So, and Josh and Dylan will overlap for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. And so how do you see this, you know, sort of this idea of community and your spiritual community, has that been a source of support during these years when you sort of feel pulled in both directions? I don't actually mean to ask this as a leading question. Do you think it has been a support? Do you think it's been a struggle? It's been sort of one more thing to do?
Well, I can speak. I mean, my parents are aging, and they taught. I mean, my spirituality and my understanding of the importance of community as a facet of spirituality is very much a part of what I learned growing up and my parents.
Mm-hmm. They
continue. Part of my, I guess, comfort for their process of being 86 and 84. 88 and 84. Anyway, they're older.
Mm-hmm.
But because they have their church community in Black Mountain. They have support. Dad's a part of a support group that helps him with my mom's dementia, mm-hmm. And those sorts of things. And there's, and you know, what I call the extended family around them has been a very important part of knowing that they have that as they age. They are cared for. I'm a part of that. Karen's mm-hmm. a part of that. Mm-hmm. My brothers are a part of that. But it's broader than us. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. It's part of their being in community. So that, and I think my, you know, looking at the other generation, my boys, I hope that for them as well, that they will find within their own lives and where they live a community, a spiritual home, however that's defined these days.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a really good bar, as far as I'm concerned, that they, you know, where they have a mm-hmm. supportive community and people who will look out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Church, how we define church these days is evolving, I think,
mm-hmm.
but that they find that
mm-hmm.
and that they find a place where they can be truly themselves and that they find people to look out after and people will look out after them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hope they discover, and that they acknowledge the importance of community rather than isolation.
Yeah.
And that to me is what's important. And I think that that has been passed on. I mean, mm-hmm. we're sitting around here right now. I'm sitting with my friend Gavin, who was known for 20, you know, as long as I've known my wife,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Robbie and Shauna, we see every week a couple of times. 3-4 times, it's about a weekend, unless we spend time with Robbie and Sean. We know that we have this network of community.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is God. Mm-hmm. You know, that is how my spirituality and the depths of it is that there's more to this beyond me. There
yeah.
is this connection. There is this love that flows in and out of me to others, and we share that. And that gets expressed in the church formally and the church informally.
It's wonderful that
yeah.
you that you bring that up, because I actually have not ever had a chance to talk on this show about one of my experiences of church, which happened at a wine bar in
yeah.
Chicago. Where and the folks in the community would call it church.
Yeah.
They would say, we're going to church. And it was literally people who knew you, who knew your name, who knew your story, who cared about you. And that was the place that we gathered to nurture each other and to take care of each other. And that was the, you know, where we came together. And it just happened to be at this place called Wine Styles on South Michigan Avenue, but it could have been any place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it really was as much or more of a church home than I had in Chicago, because I did so much guest preaching and going around and doing programs on Sunday morning, and that was part of my job. But where I came to find my community
mm-hmm.
just happened to be in this place in the neighborhood where we, you know, we would joke that it was Cheers, but it really was Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody did know your name. And we, you know, and we always were sort of welcoming people in. And I think, you know, in some ways, our church communities could learn a lot from the ways
Amen.
In which we continued to welcome people into that circle. And the ways in which that community was really the community that I left when I moved out of Chicago. They threw me the going away party. They
yeah.
were the community who were very intentional about saying goodbye. And that was a really powerful thing, because I had grown up in the church and I'd always experienced that in church, and there I had never experienced it outside of church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we need to just give people permission to create community and to create even deeply spiritual mm-hmm. communities wherever we
and not limit God to the bounds of the sanctuary.
We are not limiting God to the bounds of the sanctuary. We had a great time. I had a great time with some of my friends in New York City last Wednesday. It was Ash Wednesday in the Christian tradition, and a number of us from a group called Presbyterian Welcome were down in Union Square Park, and we were imposing ashes on people as they came by, and we were asking them what they wanted to have prayer for and what people would the ways that they would be vulnerable and be willing to share the deepest things on their hearts was just powerful. And it reminded me that, you know, there's so many needs. People are so hurting. They're so, you know, we've all got our hurts and we wear them on the inside and we don't show our vulnerabilities. But when someone says, you know, can I pray for you? You know, is there something specific that you would like prayer for? And one woman had lost her son who was 28. And another woman said, yeah, my best friend, her daughter's 4 and she's battling cancer. So we prayed for Sophie. And one man said, you know, I need prayers for infidelity. And we prayed for his infidelity. And we just, you know, what people were willing to share, it really showed me that there was such a deep need for community and for a place where people could be vulnerable about really what their needs were. And
for the people of God, taking God out into the world, not that God's not already out there, mm-hmm. but making it real and not just thinking that God is something we can experience in a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's 3 hymns on an organ and, you know, by the clergy. But we can go out into the world and share God's love and God,
mm-hmm.
The God that's in each and every one of us, that image of God that's down deep in each one of us, and help others to see that image of God within them that was woven in them at their genesis.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind folks, we've got about 12 minutes left. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're welcome to call in. This is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. The call-in number is 646, there you go, 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. I want to throw out to Karen, Shauna, Robbie, Gavin, are there things that you want to talk about tonight that we haven't sort of touched on? Is there an area of, you know, when I ask you if you would sort of come on the show tonight and talk about couples and spirituality, something that I haven't talked about that you really want to share?
Well, I want to say I think the church was really a partner for me in raising our children.
Nice.
And it was, our children were born into a very small congregation, less than 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their first formative church experience. And then we moved to an extremely large congregation that was more than 3,000. So they kind of ran the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in many Presbyterian churches of other sizes in between. But I always felt, in the Presbyterian Church USA, I always felt supported as a parent and that the church was my partner mm-hmm. and that there were things that were important to me that I could impart to my children on my own or my husband did, but there were also things that I think could only be accomplished in a community of faith. And an example of that would be in the Presbyterian Church when children are confirmed mm-hmm. and that class was taught by someone other than the parents for a reason
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it's an important tenet of the church that children receive mentoring from people other than their family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very grateful for the churches that we mm-hmm. were a part of when our children were younger and even when they were teenagers.
The yeah. trips, the mission yeah. trips,
the
Montreats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chances for conferences really and youth groups and concerts, and especially for both of my children, chances to do mission work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, no, and that's something that as someone who's not a parent, I wouldn't think about in that way. You know, the way in which the church helps to support. And, of course, as a pastor, I would hope that that would be the case. But you don't always know whether or not the families who are involved are feeling that level of support. Are there other things that you mentioned?
Speaking to that, actually, one of my regrets is that I did not find the UU community earlier on in my children's upbringing, because that they have really great religious education classes, which I kind of hit on with my kids, but they could have gotten a lot out of it, I believe, from an earlier age. And I kind of hate that I didn't get them in there. Reminds me of a joke, actually. You know, my
dad.
They say, what do you call an atheist with children? They call him a Unitarian Universalist. So it just because a lot end up going to UU to get their kids a religious education without going to a church. But anyways.
Yeah. Oh,
and Josh seems to be really snagging onto it right
now. Oh, yeah. My younger son is working with some of the younger kids in the congregation there. It's really nice.
And the experience at the mountain.
Yes. Yes, and he's gone on a retreat. Mm-hmm. And has met some friends and stuff from that. So it's been a great experience for him so far.
That's great.
So cool.
Is there anything else, Gavin, that you thought that we would talk about that I haven't hit on tonight?
I thought you were going to put us on the spot and ask us what do we do with each other. I mean, couples, the three couples here, what do we do to nurture our spiritual life together.
Well, so since you put everybody on the spot, do you want to start?
Well, you and I, we really don't like have daily devotions in the Bible. We don't read a book together, or some sort of devotional literature curriculum or anything like that. But I think we pray together before meals, and we talk about concerns that we have about friends or family, certainly about church folks that are part of our community of faith. And then we read on our own different things, and we share with each other what we're reading. And we're both very attuned to the life of the world and the concerns of the world, and knowing that that's of great concern to God.
Sure.
So,
I would say, you know, as deeply spiritual as we both are, our spiritual practices are primarily individual more than together for us, and you know, other than the fact that we do, you know, have these conversations, and we have talked about, you know, reading, doing some reading together, and I think that it's still in progress.
We haven't been moved yet.
We haven't been moved to do that. Others?
Really, you know, Karen, as I said earlier, she did a lot, has through the years done a lot of study. And I deeply respect her, you know, I guess spiritual journey would be a way to say it, and where she is on it. And I think where we explore that the most is in parenting, certainly. Also in, since I, you know, preach regularly or prepare sermons regularly or deal with, I guess, religion and church issues, she's been a great, you know, sounding board for that. And I think a lot of spiritual and theological wrestling has happened with that. So I think ours is that we've wrestled, you know, together, not literally, but figuratively with these things. And she brings a perspective on things that I think has been very informative to me. I think she, I kind of tend to be somewhat of a critic of the institution, and she has a love of the institution. I do too, but my love is expressed in pushing it and wanting more of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, expecting
sure.
more of it.
Yep.
And she can go there with me, but always sees a different perspective. So it's that sharing and shifting of perspective that
mm-hmm.
is so helpful.
And
I think has been our discipline together.
Yeah. And I would also say Tommy it has always a stack of books by the bed, by his chair in the living room, and there's always something good to read if I just pick one of them up. So I let him do the heavy lifting of the selection and the purchasing. But our house is full of interesting reads, and I appreciate that in you.
Yeah, and the conversations, the people we bring in. This Airbnb thing you're doing right now has been interesting, too, and bringing different people, you know, all this stuff. I think part, again, I experience spirituality as a conversation.
Yeah, and so bringing new people
right,
into the
and new voices and different, and, you know, Robbie and Sean have been a part of that in our lives. That has been a rich part of our conversation and spirituality of what we've shared together.
Right, I would say what they personally and together believe is radically different from what I believe. And knowing them has enriched my spiritual life, but also humbled and helped me be sensitive to other people.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm going to sort of wrap us up at this point. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to particularly thank our guests tonight. My husband, the Reverend Gavin Meek, Tommy and Karen Brown, Robbie and Shauna Lewis. It's been wonderful to have you and have you as part of the show tonight and to be in conversation about this. I couldn't agree more with Tommy that for me, faith is definitely a conversation, and the ways that we're in community with one another and that we're in conversation about a God that is infinite and really beyond our understanding, and so we can only sort of get to touch it by community and seeing God within one another. I want to invite all of our listeners that Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen is on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for 1 hour. You're always welcome to join us. As I said at the beginning of the show, in 2 weeks, I will be talking with Russ Terry, who's a life coach. He's also the executive producer of the Life Coach Radio Network. He's got a new book that's going to be released that night, which is his gratitude journal, a year's worth of things and people that he's been grateful for. We're actually going to record that ahead of time because his book release party is going to be on that night, and I'm planning to be there to celebrate with him, but we definitely wanted to share that. I understand there are parts of the book that I'm in that Russ will be sharing on that program, so I'm looking forward to that. And then in 4 weeks, on April the 14th, the second Monday in April, which is during the Christian Holy Week, my new friend Walt Walters will be on talking about his work with the Overflow Project. If you're interested in learning more about the Overflow Project, I invite you to go to their website, which is www.overflow.org. They're doing some really great work working with congregations, encouraging people to give up some of their overflow, of their excess, putting that money into the Overflow Project, which then goes to water projects around the globe. So I'm Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler. You can always reach me on my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. SEED stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction, and I'm Jennifer at feedspiritualcoaching.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless. Good night.